And we're live. Welcome to the Troy Francis channel, I guess YouTube channel. I'm joined by the man, the legend, Cobra Tate, Mr. Andrew Tate.
Hello, how are you, sir? The legend. I like that. The legend. Am I a legend? I think I'm kind of a Twitter legend because I've been banned so many times and I can just
I think you're a legend. I think it's platform agnostic. I think you're a legend. I don't think it's just Twitter. I think it goes across the board, man. And I'm not saying that to blow smoke up your ass, but it is a pleasure to have you back on the show, because obviously we met, it's kind of over a year ago now, isn't it, when you were
it was a while ago London. I was back in London, and we met, and I think I've only been in London once, maybe twice since. I don't go too often nowadays, so
well, like we were saying before we came on, you're not missing anything at the moment. There's certainly not any crazy parties going on here or anything. It's very eerie. So look, anyway, thanks for coming on the show. Obviously, it's great to see you. It's great to catch up and everything. Yeah. I mean, we've been talking about doing this for a little while, but I suppose in the current situation, it's kind of just interesting to catch up with people in different places and just have a chat about what's going on for them and how things are in their part of the world. Obviously, I want to pick your brains going into some more of the business type stuff that maybe you're doing and what guys can do, some of the girl type stuff under these circumstances and things. But yeah, I mean, let's just crack into it, really. So we were chatting off air just now about, because you're in Romania at the moment.
I'm in Romania, yeah. So I was in Romania when the whole lockdown started. Anyone who follows me on Twitter know there was a 3-day stint when I went a bit wild and ran away to Sweden, but now I'm back in Romania again. So I'm currently in Romania.
It is
full lockdown, bro. Army on the streets.
It's mental. So how long have you guys been locked down for? Did you actually lock down before the UK or before the US?
We did. About 2 weeks before the UK, they locked down. And what happened was the logistics are pretty simple. Romania is not a good place to be at the moment. And the reason for that is, one, the number one place where Romanians immigrate for work is Italy. They go to Italy to work because the language is very, very similar and they get paid higher wages. So when the whole Italian thing popped off, there was like 300,000 Romanians trying to get back into Romania. So they banned the flights. But then they all started coming across the land border. And at the land border, because coincidentally, I was driving across the land border the same kind of time I was coming back from Hungary.
Right, yeah.
Have you been to Italy? And of course, every single Romanian's like, no, just lying. So then there was these lines, like 3-day waits at the land border, trying to verify where people had come from. It just became chaos. So basically 200,000 people came back from Italy. And on top of that, I think there's only like 75 ventilators in the whole country of Romania. So they're panicking. They're like, okay, well, if we have a problem like Italy, we don't stand a chance. We don't have any of the infrastructure to deal with it. On top of that, there's also an election June 1st. So the last thing the government wants is a shit show now before the election, because then all the Romanians are going to be marching about the corruption. Why don't we have hospitals? Why don't we have ventilators? Why didn't they do anything about this? Blah, blah, blah. So because of the election, the government basically said full lockdown until the election, until June 1st. And they put the army on the street. And that's just to make sure they retain power. So it's not a good place to be at the moment. There's zero fun. I can't even drive my car.
Really?
Paperwork. Yeah, you need paperwork to go outside. It's garbage.
So what are you allowed to go out for? Just like to go to the supermarket and shit like that? Is that it?
Yeah,
really?
That's the thing. I mean, you need to fill in a piece of paper that explains where you're going and why. But you can just fill it in and lie and saying you're going to the grocery store when you're not.
Yeah.
And you can go out for a little spin, but there's literally nothing else open. And then also they've put so many cops on the street that even a short drive, you're going to get stopped 5 or 6 times. And then because I'm in a sports car and I'm a foreigner, they start giving me lots of questions, and it's just a pain in the ass. Like the whole thing's a pain in the ass. So with this going on, we ran away to Sweden. We looked up the countries that were open. We saw Belarus and Sweden were the only two countries that didn't have lockdown, and we had to make a call. And Belarus had a 14-day quarantine, and it was a self-quarantine. We thought maybe we could ignore.
Yeah.
But Sweden had no rules. Sweden doesn't care. Sweden's like, whatever. So we're like, you know what? Let's go to Sweden. So we went to Sweden, and there's a thread on my Twitter. I'll try to put it in the chat and you can see what we got up to. But yeah, Sweden was pretty good. So I'm thinking of going back, bro. If they don't fix this in a couple of days, I might be going back to Stockholm.
Well, it sounds like it's not a bad option, because obviously, I mean, well, Belarus, like you say, they've got this sort of 2-week quarantine self-isolation period. Whether how strictly they enforce that or not is sort of in the balance. But so with Sweden, do you have to isolate at all when you get in, or is it
zero.
Just
Zero.
Really?
And that's the thing. Belarus, how strictly do they enforce it? Nobody knows. You can go to Belarus. They can say isolate for 14 days. You can go, okay, and ignore it, and it might be fine. But you might be out one night drinking, and a police officer might come up to you and say, give me your passport, and he might run your name and think, ah, this prick got here 8 days ago.
Yeah.
And then you're in trouble. You don't know. So it's like, it's a risk. Do you want to go to Belarusian jail? I don't know. I mean, not really. Whereas in Sweden, they don't care. They didn't care at all. They didn't talk about it, nothing. I mean, the casino was closed. The big clubs were closed, but like the bars and the clubby kind of restaurants were all open. The cafes were all open. Hotels were all open. And people are out and no one's wearing masks. There's zero public fear. Everyone's out. So everyone's just ignoring it like it ain't happening at all. And
Is that the last bastion for the international playboy, then, do you reckon?
It's the last bastion, Stockholm, Sweden. That's all you got left right now. That's the only place you can go. And they've got flights going in and out, you know, so you can get in and out of the country. But it was quite impressive to see how much they don't care. I mean, it's not very often the Swedes impress me, to be honest. But for once, I was actually looking around like, you know what, you guys have done a pretty good job. They didn't care at all. They didn't care at all. And there's a few different theories on why they've taken the route they've taken, but they have a public ledger, which is publicly accessible, and you can see all the deaths in real time.
Okay.
And they're basically saying the people who are dying are already sick and already very old, and we're doing the best we can for them. And our health service is not stretched, so there's no reason to stay inside. That's their basic premise. And I guess the logic is sound. I mean, if your health service isn't stretched and you can handle everyone who turns up, then you know what's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I mean, I guess that's one of the issues probably that we've got in the UK is that they know that basically the health service just isn't really up to the job if, you know, things
well,
continue.
They might be more up to the job if they weren't so busy making fucking TikToks.
I saw you posting about that, actually. That's pretty,
Is there anything that's going to piss you off more? If you're in hospital or someone you love is in hospital dying and then you see some fucking TikTok video on Twitter, do-do-do-do-do. Like, supposed to be like, oh, wow, so lighthearted and funny. This is not funny at all. I don't find this 1% amusing. Like, I just think, what absolute incompetence. There has to become a point when, as a grown-up, you decide that competence and taking an issue seriously is worth more than attention and lightheartedness. It's bullshit. It's complete garbage. If I was the head of the NHS, I'd suspend every single person I found. Suspend it indefinitely. You don't take your job seriously enough. Doing shit dances. They're not even good dances, bro. They're shit dances. What's the point?
They're not even providing any real entertainment. Do you know what I mean? In this time,
you know
of
what I mean? At least, you know, go fucking kill Godzilla or do something cool. We're pissing around with gloves outside the hospital. It's garbage, man. And that's the UK as a whole. The whole thing's a joke. If I was still in England, I don't know. If I was in England, would I even obey the lockdown? I don't know. I think most people are ignoring it, aren't they? I've heard a lot of people just walking around.
Well, people are starting to walk around. I mean, I went into central London yesterday just to have a look around, which was on my daily walk. So I wasn't, strictly speaking, like, you know, breaking any rules or anything. But there was loads of people around. I mean, it was kind of a wasteland to what it normally is. But there was still quite a lot of people around. There was a lot of people like walking in couples, a lot of people on bikes. So they're kind of following the rules in principle, if you like, in the sense that, you know, you're allowed to go out for a walk, you're allowed to take your daily exercise. So I think people are sort of observing that, but it's a little bit lax here, really. And I don't know. I mean, I think as time goes on, I'm seeing a lot more people on social media, not just here but elsewhere, saying basically, you know, to hell with this, we're gonna break this.
Exactly. And I mean, when I was finished in Sweden, I wanted to come to the UK, but coincidentally, before I flew to the UK, Romania banned all flights from England. And they did that because of the Easter holiday. This is the most Christian country in the world. Romanians are super Christian. There's a lot of them still in England working, and they were afraid they were all going to come home to see their family for Easter. So they banned all flights. So I thought, if I go to England, I'm going to get stuck in England. I can't come back here. And it's just primarily it's a business focus. I mean, if I'm locked in my house, I can still make money. If I'm locked in a hotel in England, I have nothing to do but bang fucking girls from Tinder. So like I thought,
it's
a
hard life.
Yeah, am I going to get stuck in England with my girl? I mean, I've got girls in London anyway, but I was like, do I want to get stuck there or do I want to go home and just do some work? So I kind of went home, but it looks like Romania is keeping this up for a long time. So I might be in London soon anyway, especially if they relax things a little bit. I'll probably turn up.
Yeah, do you need to get back for some – have you got some stuff
to
do?
Yeah, I've always got something to do in England. It always drags me back one way or another somehow. I always have some work to do, you know, some TVLA paper or some bullshit. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. I mean, just from my point of view, I've been sort of stuck with the same thing. Cause I mean, I could be here. I could go to Berlin cause I've got a place in Berlin. I could, you know, I was looking at some of these other places. I mean, I suppose Stockholm is one, but then you kind of weigh it up, don't you? And you sort of think, well, what is the best thing to do under these circumstances? I mean, in a way, just sitting in my apartment and just getting on with a load of work is actually not a bad way.
Yeah, I mean, because everything's uncertain. So you go to Stockholm, that's fine. But what if you get stuck in Stockholm? What if they shut down? What if they don't let you back? What if it's all that crap that adds up? But, you know, I mean, I came back here to Romania. I'm going to do 2 more weeks. I've done 1 week. I've got 1 week left of my 14-day isolation that they're enforcing. When I came back from Sweden, they told me at the border, we're going to let you in. Here's your address. Da-da-da. If you're caught outside of your gate, you're going to jail.
Well,
so I'm in real jail now. So I'm sitting in a house arrest. And when this is over, I'm gonna disappear somewhere. We'll see how much of the world's reopened by then, and I'll disappear. But hey, I think this will at least give us a crazy summer. When this shit's over, it's going to be a crazy summer. I think everyone's going to be up for a party.
Well, mate, I mean, I've been saying for a while, actually, since this started to, you know, since the lockdown started to get more strict over here, I've been saying for a while, I think we're going to see just like an explosion of activity when we come out the other side of this, because I think everyone's getting, I mean, guys are getting thirsty, obviously just sitting on their hands, you know, having to resort to, you know, Pornhub or Cam Girls or, you know, whatever it is. But girls are as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like we've never experienced anything like this before where everyone's just been locked up.
Yeah, it's true.
You can feel it boiling up, can't you? Like the sexual tension.
Yeah, I said this the other day. I said, if the girl you like won't text you back now when she has nothing to do all day, every day, you may as well just delete her number. Because she's going to ignore you now, then she's just going to ignore you forever. Like all the girls are bored, all the dudes are bored. And it'd be interesting to see the financial situation when people come out of this, how much money they're going to have to waste. But I still think everyone's going to be on the street. Everyone's going to be up for a party. So it's going to be a cool summer one way or another. And you know what? It's a unique experience. Something that's never happened before. So fuck it. He's got to go with the flow. And
yeah. I mean, without getting too much into like the politics of it necessarily, I mean, do you think, I mean, obviously there's differing opinions over the internet about what's happening, what's really going on and all of that stuff. I mean, do you think that the response to this is disproportionate with?
Yeah, it's absolutely disproportionate. It's disproportionate. I'll tell you why. So I'm not a medical health professional. What I am is a genius. So I basically know everything. I know something about everything. It doesn't matter what subject you bring up. I know something about everything. And you can apply critical thinking and pure logic to anything. I'm a chess player. That's what I was. I was a chess player. So I think very linear, very logically. So my conclusion on all of this is very simple. The World Health Organization started talking about this shit when? November, December time? They start talking about it in China. But 4 out of 5 people who get sick have no symptoms. So these are 2 facts we can accept. They've already agreed that 4 out of 5 people are asymptomatic, and they've already agreed that we already know the World Health Organization start talking about this in November, December.
Yeah.
Do you think the World Health Organization are going to instantly spot and begin to discuss and track a virus where 4 out of 5 people who get sick show 0 symptoms? No. I mean, if everyone who got sick got very, very sick and started dying, then the World Health Organization would very quickly jump all over it. But if 4 out of 5 people don't even get sick, and then the people who do get sick, a lot of them recover, and the symptoms are the same as the flu or the common cold, then it's going to go on for months and months and months and months before anyone even clocks it's a different disease, before anyone even notices anything. So I'm telling you that this fucking corona has been around for probably a year. This has been around for a very long time, because there's no way it would have been spotted, which means that in the summer of last year, when flights were going in and out of Wuhan and all the borders were open, and me and you were in the clubs running around acting like dickheads, and everyone was fine, there was already corona to catch, and a whole bunch of people already had it and didn't even notice and aren't going to get sick again. So this is why the whole thing to me is disproportionate. It's because it's already been around for so long. It's stupid. It's just like, well, you think you caught it in its infancy. Now that they're trying to track it and say a bunch of scary numbers, that doesn't change the fact that corona's been here for a very long time and everyone's fine. So it's just stupid. I'm sure it's been around for longer than this. I'm sure I've already had it. I remember having a cold for a couple days in early December last year. 2 or 3 days, I had a sore throat. The exact symptoms of this stupid fucking thing. And I carried on working, and I was fine in a couple days. I'm sure I had it. I'm sure. And now I've been running around Sweden kissing chicks and doing whatever I want, and I'm not sick. I've had it, and my body's used to it. And that's my whole point. It's been around for a long time, and that's why this whole thing's stupid. That's my view.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you get the conspiracy theories, don't you? Saying, oh, you know, they want to shut us down and all that kind of thing. But I'm not sure. As disaster capitalism aside, I'm not sure why it would be in any elite's interest to shut down the world economy, really.
I agree. I don't think shutting down the economy would be interesting to them. I do think the only conspiracy theory angle I'm going to take is I do think that the people in charge of the world are very pleased with how easily people have agreed to be locked down. I think they're happy with that. I think they probably expected a lot more resistance than they've gotten.
Mm.
So in the future, this may be an option. In the future, maybe at some point they can sit there and go, you know what? Well, if we just say virus and put it on the news, they'll all stay home.
Yeah.
I mean, now I don't think it was done on purpose now. And I don't think there's any kind of big cabal behind this on purpose. I believe the virus is real, blah, blah, blah. I'm just saying it's certainly going to click in a few people's minds that, you know, people will accept some bullshit pretty quickly if you talk about viruses, which are basically non-lethal to 99.9% of people. Pretty crazy.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that I've found sort of interesting about this and a bit disturbing, to be honest, is just how keen people are to get locked down, and people want more restrictions. Right?
They want to feel safe, like babies. Give me another blanket. Yeah. Oh, give us more restrictions. Baby. Yeah. Liberals.
Yeah.
These are low IQ people. The 50% of the law of averages is going to ensure, because it's the average, that half of people are below average IQ. And there's nothing you can do about that. I mean, that's the average. You've got half of people who are below average IQ. You have half of people who are, and it's not just IQ. You can measure it in lots of things. There's a whole bunch of people who are just pussies. They have no bravery. They have no, they don't take any self. What's the word I'm looking for? I take responsibility for everything. Even if I get sick, I put it on myself to fix myself. I'm not going to think of a government. I mean, maybe I'll go doctor, whatever. But it's all about me. I'm in good shape anyway. I've always looked after my health. I'm already healthy. So I've already got the best body I can have to fight the crisis. These are people who don't look after themselves at all. They expect the government to keep them alive. These are just pawns in the machine, NPCs. And of course, they're crying for more lockdowns.
Yeah.
Low IQ little drones. Ants.
Well, nobody's thinking about the knock-on effects of this, though, are they? Because they're thinking, obviously, people want to be safe. They don't want to get sick. They don't want to get their families to be sick and that. And you can understand that. But to be crying out to the government, to be putting like police on the streets, putting the army on the streets, all of this kind of thing. It just seems to me that is, you know, you've got to think very carefully about what you wish for in this situation.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And that's why it's all messed up. And there's also going to be a huge study, which will never be done, which will tell you a lot about the ethnicities, because that's another big thing. I think the reason Romanians have obeyed and the reason the streets here are so quiet is because everyone's Romanian. I know in some of the countries that are more multicultural, there's huge percentages of the population just ignoring it and just saying, I don't care. You know, so then you have to take into the bid, is it a race thing? How do I say this without us getting banned? Is it people calling for more restrictions because they're unhappy that particular groups of society are ignoring the restrictions? Or is it because they actually believe that people need more restrictions? Blah, blah, blah. It all becomes complicated. But I don't know. All I know is it's a very good example of why you should have enough sovereignty to keep yourself in good shape in the first place. How are you going to be fucking 28 and have an underlying disease based on obesity? How are you going to have an underlying health condition at 27 because you ate too many fucking cupcakes and then you want to complain to the NHS? Like, people have no self-responsibility at all. I drink vodka. I smoke cigars. But I don't let myself fall to shit. You know, like, it's like, what's wrong with these people?
And
then they're going to go, I'm scared of a virus. It's like, I'd be scared of a virus too. You're the low-hanging fruit. This is the nature of society. This is the nature of nature itself. The lion goes for the sick antelope at the back. It doesn't give a shit about honor. It doesn't care about trying to get the big strong antelope. It gets the little ball. It gets the sick one at the back, a fat one. These are people who are at the back of the pack. And the lion's a virus. Well, you can't resist shit. You ain't got an immune system. You're fucking got custard flowing through your veins. Fuck you.
Yeah.
People built their own life this way.
Yeah, totally. I mean, do you think that in part the response to this has been driven, getting this back into more like manosphere territory? Do you think that the response to this has been driven in part by a certain feminization in society, in the sense that we're all very mollycoddled now, aren't we? And we're all very sort of like wrapped in cotton wool. And is that part of why this is rolled out like this, do you think, in terms of the
morning? I definitely think there's a few elements at play that would have changed the entire scope. One, to not get political, I think if Trump wasn't president, this wouldn't have happened. And the reason for that is because when swine flu hit America and Obama was president, nobody gave a fuck, and more people died than died with corona. And the reason nobody cared is because the media liked Obama, so nobody said anything bad about him. So he could basically ignore it, and it's fine. Whereas if Trump tried to ignore it, every single death would be all over the papers blaming Trump. So he has no choice but to lock down, because if America refused to lock down, a whole bunch of other countries would have refused to lock down. So I think that's one of the things, the fact the media would have gone for Trump so hard. I think that's one, I think that's one of the first things. And the second thing, I mean, society is definitely becoming softer. It's certainly becoming softer as a whole. And I mean, if it was a male-centric society, would we still remove the idea of locking down? I don't know. Maybe I think that a lockdown still could be done, but you could be more clever with it. You could be more careful with it. You don't have to be a complete blanket lockdown. You could just lock down the people who are more vulnerable. You could be smarter with it. But I don't know, man. The way the whole world's working, I'm very surprised the way Romania acted the way it did, but they had their reasons, and they've given it even stricter here than England. So it is one of them things. Something to live through. It's experience to tell. And it gives you opportunity to get shit done anyway. So for once, you have no distractions. So,
yeah, completely. And I mean, I would imagine on the upside of this, I mean, the webcam stuff must be going through the roof right now. Is that the case? Or
yeah, you know what's funny? You know what's funny about running a webcam studio? Like people think that webcam would be the last priority of a guy. Like if a dude, if it gets to a recession, he's low on money. The first thing he's going to cut out is cam girls. And they're wrong. This is recession proof. They need food, they need water, they need shelter, and they need to come, and they like to talk to this one girl. And it's recession proof. It doesn't matter what the recession comes, doesn't matter if it's a pandemic, doesn't matter if it's Christmas, doesn't matter if it's New Year. It doesn't matter. There's money being spent on these websites. And yeah, my girls are up probably about double.
Really?
Yeah. So I've got girls making $3,000 a day in an 8-hour shift, just sitting there talking shit to dudes all around the world. And nice. I became my girls are some of the best girls in the world. Like most girls don't make that much, but you know, it's crazy. And there's a whole bunch of money being spent online because guys are bored at home and they want to talk. They want to talk to a hot young 19-year-old, and this is the only way they can do it. So it's definitely been good for that business. It's definitely taken off. I'm definitely making more money.
What about the courses and the other things that you do? Like the stuff targeted at guys within this space. Is that stuff going well as well? Because people are at home and they've got more time. And
So my main incomes are the webcam and my casinos. I spent a lot of money on casinos. The casinos are closed, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. The webcam has doubled. Courses, CobraTake.com. I teach everything I know about making money and about women at CobraTake.com. I also have a Forex Academy. I do lots of different things. Anyone who has any questions can go there. I don't consider that an income because I'm not really one of those. A lot of the people who sell courses on Twitter, that's how they have money. And to me, it's kind of like a Ponzi scheme. I'm going to come along and say, I'm rich, and I'll tell you how to be rich. But they are only rich because they're telling you how to be rich. It's just a big con. Like, I have real businesses. So the courses, that money's used on war room events. I throw these big parties for war room guys, or I fund different Forex accounts, etc. But I don't really consider that a big business anyway. That's not my main income. So I just teach what I do through CobraTake.com for a variety of reasons. But also, it helps me. It helps me to teach other people, and it also helps me to recruit staff. I have like 7 or 8 people from the war room who now work for me remotely all around the world, making a whole bunch of money, which I only found because they joined the war room in the first place. So it's good for me to have a network as like that, a talent pool. And that's the main reason I do it. But Cam is certainly noticeably busier. It's just busy. OnlyFans, again, the same, noticeably busier.
So yeah. See, you released the OnlyFans course quite recently, didn't you? I think it's, I don't know if it is there an enrollment period or is it open full time?
It's open until I get full. Yeah, I leave it open. So basically I was explaining to guys, all these guys, see, this is the difference between me and most of these other motherfuckers, is that they will sit on Twitter and they will see girls making money with OnlyFans, and it will not cross their mind. They will not for a second sit and think, how do I get involved and how do I get my cut of the money? Why does it not cross your mind? Like if I see somebody making money, I want my money. So I see all these bimbos making money and I'm like, whoa, well, if a bimbo like her can make money, surely if someone as intelligent as I can get involved in this. So I've actually been doing OnlyFans for 2 years. Now OnlyFans is up. I think there was a tweet put out by the CEO of OnlyFans. They're up like 700% or something. Every girl's signing up now because they're desperate for money. But I've been doing OnlyFans for years. So I've been at it for a long time, but I basically just manage OnlyFans accounts. I get girls. I show them that I'm the best. I show them proof that my girls are the top 1% on the whole platform. I tell them what to do, how to talk to people, how to take pictures, what to do, how to set up their account. I give them full management for start to finish for a percentage. And I get paid money from OnlyFans. I make maybe $60,000, $70,000 a month from OnlyFans. And any guy can do it. And I'll teach you. And I put the whole course together because guys kept saying to me, hey, I've got a girl, or I think I know a girl who will do OnlyFans. I want to get involved in it. So I put the course together to teach guys how to do it from start to finish, because chicks are not – people don't understand, man. Okay. If I were to say to you, you could take a picture and sell it for money, what you would do is take unlimited pictures and become a multi-trillionaire because you have a male mindset. What a woman will do is take one picture, make $500, and then not touch her phone again for a week because she's too busy watching Netflix, eating ice cream, and talking shit to her friends because they're lazy. They want enough to survive, but they don't want to conquer the world. Whereas as a man, you can come along and use your mindset, and if she'll obey your instructions, you can make a shit ton of money. That's why my girls make the most, because they'll make $1,000 in an hour, and I'll be like, okay, we've got 8 hours of work left. We're going to make $8,000 today. Whereas they want to log off after an hour. So I teach I teach guys how to do it from start to finish with OnlyFans. There's a whole bunch of money to be made from the sex industry as a man. Let the girls do the work, and you just have to come along with the male mindset and guidance. But most men can't even get their dick sucked, I guess. So I guess that's part of it. But you know, it's not that complicated what I do. I've been in this space for 5 or 6 years. It made me a multimillionaire.
Yeah.
Controlling women accounts. So
yeah. Yeah.
So it's been a long time.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, that's a big part of what you teach guys. But obviously, you know, like you say, you've got the trading stuff, you've done crypto stuff, you've got all of these other different avenues as well. And I think money breeds money, doesn't it? I mean, you know, you make money in one area and then you can move it onto a different sphere and make
money. So when you already have money, you have a few options. One, if you see a good idea, you can throw money at it. Two, you can use your money to make money. And three, if you have money, you don't have the pressure of a lot of people have a good idea, but they're too busy going to work and doing everything else to pull their idea off. So money gives you a degree of freedom. You can pull other things off.
Yeah. So what about at the moment, right? Because obviously a lot of people are on a sort of enforced, not break exactly, but a lot of people are like working from home, or they're, you know, they're on lockdown and isolation and stuff. I mean, what would you say to the guy who's maybe just coming into this space and they're like, shit, I want to change. I don't want to be doing this cubicle job for the rest of my life, et cetera. Yep. I mean, is now a good time to start a business and to go your own way? It seems like we've all been presented with this sort of enforced opportunity for reappraisal, haven't we? So how would you advise guys to use it?
Absolutely. I mean, okay. So me as a person, I would always be looking at my life for reappraisal, no matter how busy I was.
Yeah.
I really, this is the thing I don't understand. I tweet a lot of stuff on Twitter about mindset and blah, blah, blah. And I tweeted something this morning. If you were a warrior, you'd already be fighting. And the point I was making is, if you're going to have 3 weeks off work, stuck in your house, watching Netflix, and at no point during that, are you going to sit and think, maybe I should try something new? Then you're hopeless. Like, I mean, it's not going to even cross your mind at any point. Like, and I understand people go, well, it crossed my mind, but I didn't know what to do, or I was afraid, or I couldn't afford it, whatever, whatever, whatever. But there are people out there who will genuinely just watch TV for 3 weeks straight and it won't even cross their mind. But this is the nature of the world. There would be no rich without poor. There's no light without dark. There'd be no motivated smart geniuses if everyone was a motivated smart genius. So I have to be I'm happy for the bottom feeders. So if you're watching this and you're sitting there and you're like, well, I want to do something. If you really wanted to do something, you would have already been thinking of things. That's the truth. And if you don't, and if you haven't thought of anything, then I can help you. Sure. I mean, I started my cam business, and I want to make this very, very clear, because people think I started it because I like girls. I want to make it very, very clear. I did not start my businesses with webcam and OnlyFans and porn to have sex with girls or have girls. I wanted money. I was money first, pussy second, always. And that's the reason I was so successful, because there's not many men who could turn down titties all day long and instead take dollar bills. But I could. And that's why I made so much money. Yeah. But, you know, so I was always in it for the money. So when I'm trying to present these ideas to people, people are sitting there thinking, oh, well, he just wants the Playboy lifestyle. No, I'm telling you how to make fucking money. This is real money. Go through Twitter, see all these girls. These girls make more money than judges. They make more money than lawyers. They make more money than you're ever going to make with any job for free. It's crazy. So, yeah, I mean, definitely there's a chance to reappraise your life right now. I teach everything I know on CobraTape.com, but also you've got all the time in the world to sit and think and try and work something out, because the nature of the world is this, man. I'll tell you, there's two things you can never do to get rich. You can't save yourself rich. That's the first thing you can never fucking do. Too many people have an idea in their head.
So it's not like don't get a Starbucks. Cut out your daily Starbucks kind of thing. You know, it's not
exactly. That. You can't save yourself rich. It's never gonna work. You're saving your money while the Fed prints billions of dollars a day, and you're gonna save your $3 a day. Like, how is this gonna work? Like, it's not. You're never gonna save yourself rich ever, ever, ever. And you're never gonna work. You're never gonna get rich working for anyone else. You need to find a side hustle one way or another. And as a man, I think with the internet, there's unlimited opportunity. And I think I'm quite unique in the fact that I'm the only guy who teaches men how to make money from the online sex industry. There's no one else who'll teach that. There's a whole bunch of guys who'll teach you drop shipping and web commerce and all this shit. I'm the only dude who says, look, get some titties, get some money. I'm the only guy who'll teach you that.
Well, yeah. And when you think about it, you think about what are the big things that you can make cash from? And sex is really, it's at the top of the tree, isn't it? I mean, that is the one thing that every guy wants and every guy is going to want. You know, even if it was the apocalypse, there'd still be people like bloody going on to, going to chat to their favorite cam girl and stuff, wouldn't there? So
100%. I tell you now, my girl's number one fans, if it was the end of the world and they had an hour left, the first thing they do is log in.
Yeah.
Sex is mandatory and it's necessary for the human condition. Sex is like food. Except it's more expensive. It's the best thing in the world.
Indeed. There's an interesting point that you just raised just then, though, which reminded me. I was listening to a podcast last night where a guy, I forget who it was, but a guy was being interviewed and he apparently had some quite extensive, he'd been involved with the sort of entourage type game, taking groups of models to nightclubs and all this kind of stuff. And the sort of club promotion stroke entourage type thing. And he said... He said promoters who are good don't fuck the girls and they don't, they don't party basically. Yeah. But who wants to do that? Because everyone just wants to have sex with the girls and everyone just wants to party. So the point, and he said, to be accepted in those circles as a guy, it's actually quite, because most guys don't make the grade, because most guys just aren't going to be able to handle being around those sort of incredibly beautiful women, and they're going to be weird or they're going to fuck it up or whatever. I mean, does some of that apply to what you're doing though? Because as much as obviously you teach guys how to do this, but do you think a guy has to be of a certain mindset in order to be able to spend time with a lot of like very hot women and not just fuck it up in some way, just because of the way that he comes across or, creating drama with the girls or whatever?
Yeah, there's certainly, okay. So there's two ways you can make money from the sex industry, the online sex industry as a man. There's two ways you can do it. One, you can be the fucking man. This is the way I did it. So you can have girls who respect you, girls who love you, girls who want to do as you say, and they're going to work hard to please you. And when I said that I wasn't thirsty for pussy, the point was, I'm not saying I didn't fuck pussy.
My point was,
I'd fuck them if they did good and they worked hard. I wouldn't just be like, oh, take the day off and let's go for a drive. I was like, no, you don't take the day off. You work first and I'll fuck you afterwards. I want to get fucking paid. So you can do it like a G, or you can do it from the technical aspect. So you don't even have to be a G. You can be a nerd. Yeah. You can just say, look, I know the insides. I know computers inside out. And look, you're going to work there. I'm going to remotely help you from somewhere else. And I'll just, be a geek, and I'll be the geek who makes you money. So you can still pull it off. I mean, mine was a very intimate, very physical recommendation. But if anyone who has my courses will see, I teach in the OnlyFans course how you can be running OnlyFans girls all around the world. You can be sitting in Nebraska with girls in Brazil paying you money. You don't even got to be near them. You just got to know what I know. So there's two ways of doing it, but certainly a knack with women is definitely going to help. But I mean, women, this is the thing. Women are constantly looking for guidance. A lot of men sit on Twitter and they see these girls making all this money with webcam or OnlyFans. And they have the idea that it's some strong, independent chick working hard, making all this money. Complete bullshit. There's no girl out there who wants 50, 60 grand a month. If she was independent, she'd be making a grand a month and being lazy. If she's making that money, there's a dude who's fucking her. And he's probably in charge of her money. I'll tell you the nature of it. Women are looking for guidance. Women are not really that money motivated. So if you can come along and motivate them and give them some structure and give them some rewards for working hard outside of money, like attention or, some good dick, whatever, you can make a whole bunch of money. So there's a whole bunch of ways you can do it. Of course, if you're completely socially inept and all girls hate you, it's going to be harder. But then why are you living that life anyway?
Yeah.
Like why are – like, this is – man, I get this all the time. I get so many guys come to me and go, hey, man, I really want girls. And I talk to him and he goes, no, but really, I really want to change my thing with girls. And I say, stop telling me really want, because you don't really want. Because if you did, you wouldn't be obese.
Yeah.
You don't really want girls. What you really want is cake and donuts. That's what you really want. Like, it's also, you have to position yourself. And if you're a desirable man, your life's better as a whole. Fuck running a webcam business. As a whole, if you're a desirable man, you got a better life. So yeah. If you're going to come it to me as a morbidly obese, socially inept, you know, and you're going to come and go, I want to run girls. And, well, I'm going to say to you, bro, you need to just run full stop. Don't worry about the girls. But yeah, I mean, there's an element to it. But my point is, I don't want people to be disqualified and think, oh, well, I'm not Tate, so I can't do it. When I started my cam business, I was broke as a joke. I had nothing. I didn't even have a car. So if I could pull it off, anyone could.
How does it work with things like, you know, like the tube sites or whatever, you know, the aggregator sites like Chatterbait and things like that? Do they not work for girls? How does that work in terms of, you know, in comparison to your model?
Yeah. So you have companies like Chatterbait and MyFreeCams and a few of these websites. Big portals for webcam girls. I teach in my webcam course how to use each and every one of them and how to do it independently as well. But they're very good because they get lots of traffic. They get lots of traffic. They get lots of guys. The problem with them is that they're very technical, one. And two is that there's huge competition. Any girl who logs onto Chatterbait is instantly amongst 10,000 girls. So how does she get attention to her room?
Yeah, yeah.
That takes skill. Webcamming is not easy. There's skill. It's like every other business. There's skill and there's ingenuity and there's hard work. And I teach every single trick in the book to make your girl get the men in her room. As well as that, this is why women need men anyway. Because if a girl logs in and she sits there with no top on, and after 20 minutes, no guy is talking to her, she feels deflated. Am I ugly? No guy wants to talk to me. Blah, blah, blah. I don't like this. I feel insecure. I don't want to do it anymore. Whereas as a man, you can fix all that. You can come along and say, there was a big football game. It's not your fault. There's a big football game. Don't worry. I have an idea. We're going to do this the next show. We're going to do this kind of party, and we're going to have a bottle of vodka and da 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 da. And okay, please. Yeah, thanks. I felt really down. You can make them feel better. You can come on their face. Next day they can work and everyone's happy again. So you have a big role as a man. People come at me all the time and say, like, they try and insult me and say, you're a pimp. Like it's a bad thing. I'm like, listen, I'm a positively inspirational and motivating person. I keep my girls happy. They smile. Everyone's happy. I turn their sad days into happy days. That's what I do. Yeah. And I take them from the ghetto streets to the hotel suites. And we're making money. And that's what it's all about. So as a man, there's a huge role in this industry to be played. Just the technical side and keeping a girl happy is enough to make you millions of dollars a year. And I teach everything from start to finish. So yeah, so, some of my girls are on Chatterbait right now. I've still got 9 girls working for me. You can go. You might be on Chatterbait one day, sending tokens to a bitch, putting gas in my Lambo. That's fine. Hey, I'm not gonna say who they are, but they're there.
Awesome. So, what about the dating scene? What about game dating, all that kind of stuff? At the moment, is it completely screwed in your opinion, or do you think guys can still make moves? I mean, it seems like our online game is kind of got to be where it's at, but what do you reckon? I mean, should guys be out there trying to hustle on the dating apps, or should they just be like, let's just take some time out and work on my business?
You know what's changed the dating game completely? Instagram. That one app has flipped the dating game upside down, because every single girl is now in competition for those Instagram pics. They all want to be living that life.
Yeah.
They all want to be in Dubai. They all want to have the picture on the beach. Everyone wants that shit. I mean, I'm telling you now, as a top tier man, which is what I consider myself, as a young, tall, strong, rich millionaire with a Lambo and all this shit all over my Instagram, Instagram is the number one dating app for me. I can load up my Instagram 24/7 and click open my inbox, and there's some girl who's liked something or asked me some bullshit question she doesn't care about to try and get money to reply, or followed me and liked 20 pics. Like, Instagram's huge for me because it's easy for me. But if you don't have an Instagram page like mine, then it's going to be a bit harder. But this changed the game, Instagram, man, because I get people saying, oh, yeah, you can just go to Ukraine and get some hot girl from a village. That hot girl from a village has 200,000 followers. She knows she's hot. These girls ain't – it's not like it used to be where they were just like little girls. They know the game now. They're getting offered to Dubai every week.
Yeah, totally. Well, I suppose initially I was just asking about with coronavirus. Do you think guys can still bang? But there's an interesting point to be made here about the global sexual marketplace, as Rollo says. And I mean, this is something we've been talking about for ages. So just initially with the coronavirus stuff at the moment, do you think guys should still be concentrating on, you know, pimping their Instagram and trying to get girls to come over?
Absolutely. So in my PhD course, not to do too big a plug, but in my PhD course, I have a system which I lay out, a very clear system that starts from if you meet a girl online, then text, I have a very clear system I lay out. And it's very, very, what's the word I'm looking for? It's very strategic. And I know exactly what I'm doing because I've been doing this a long time. So yeah, guys should absolutely be getting leads. But I tell you something, man, I never really considered myself a pickup artist. I never really considered myself. I ended up on Twitter and I kind of ended up in this space, but I never was formally trained on this stuff or whatever. Mm. But I see a lot of guys who come to me who make rookie mistakes. I'm going to give out a little bit of free knowledge now. And the free knowledge I'm going to give to guys is, I don't know how other guys do it, but you can't sit and chat shit to a girl for months and months. It gets boring. Yeah. She's never met you. I mean, how much you got to talk about? So you have to have a system in place that's going to allow you to escalate and elevate your conversations and elevate and escalate your relationship and her interest level in you. If you're going to sit there and just message girls, you might be on lockdown for the next 6 weeks. And every day, how are you? Fine. You? What are you doing? At home? You? Home? So you got to have a little bit more strategy than that. You know what I mean? But yeah, now's a fantastic time to hit these girls up because they're going to reply because they have nothing else to do. But then you have to understand, you're always in competition with other dudes. If a girl's messaging you, she messages in 20. So why does she like you and not the rest? I mean, it's not easy as a man nowadays. It's really not easy as a man. It's getting harder and harder.
Well, exactly. And that leads back into the global thing, right? Because what you're describing, you know, it's the old thing of like the girl who's in Siberia, who's a nine. Yeah. But whereas 10, 15 years ago, maybe even less actually, but, you know, like say a decade ago, she might have ended up just marrying the guy who works in the local Costco because that's just how things went down. Now she's getting flown to Dubai by, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, like in your view, do you think the dating market is now completely changed? I mean, there's no putting that genie back in the bottle, is there?
No, there's no putting that genie back in the bottle. Now, I'm not saying that you can't get hot girls. I'm just saying that the hot girls are certainly aware of their worth. And Instagram gives them unlimited dating pool. Like one of my girls has 69,000 followers on Instagram. Her Instagram account's on my phone, so I can see at any time. And she gets a message every 6 minutes, maybe. And she's had messages from verified NFL stars, Chicago Bulls, all this shit. So like, if you're a hot girl, like if you ever feel lonely, you click your Instagram inbox, you scroll through and you decide who you want to reply to. Yeah. You know, like these girls are never lonely and they're never not talking to someone. And this is the element that most men forget. And this is something I try and drive home in the PhD course. The reason it's so hard for a man is you're not trying to make her like you. You're trying to make her like you more than she likes the guy she was talking to before you. Yeah. So you're always in competition all the time. Yeah. And the competition as a man is near unlimited. And that's something you have to keep in mind. And you have to be on the ball and you have to be ruthless with it. You've got to have your game in check, man. And you can get to a point where if you're really smooth with it, it gets easy. But in general, it's not easy for guys. Guys come to me all the time like, oh, I want to be able to do this and this and this. It's going to get harder. And I only see it getting harder and harder. I don't see it getting any easier anytime soon.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Because, I mean, this isn't going to go backwards. I mean, it's only going to go forwards. And maybe other apps will come into play and other dating sites or dating apps and things. But it's only going to get harder from now on. And, I mean, there's already the thing about, the, you know, the way Tinder operates and the way that, you know, if you are allegedly the Tinder algorithm works in such a way that it determines your
how hot you
hotness,
are,
and then it will only show you know, girls on a certain level. So already that glass ceiling's being put in. Yep. Whereas maybe at the beginning of Tinder, you could have lucked out and started talking to a girl who was like a nine or however you want to judge it. Now that opportunity's gone. Maybe the social media apps are going to go in a similar. I mean, well, they already are de facto in that sense anyway, because they're going to talk to you.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily going to talk to other dudes. Do you know what I mean? So there's. But the social media apps are just it's getting harder and harder.
It's getting super hard to compete. It's super hard to compete on social media apps, and it's getting super hard to compete anywhere else. And this is the nature of being a man. Being a man is super difficult, and girls have all the choice, And you have to just find a way to pull it off. Now, I teach everything I possibly know from head to toe in the PhD course, but there is an element of personal responsibility involved, just like we were talking about Corona. If you're going to sit and become a fat piece of shit with no money, you're going to struggle. Welcome to the real world. I mean, obviously, if you have attributes, the more bullets you have in your gun, the better. But it's certainly not going to get any easier for men. It's definitely not going to get easier. But saying that, I believe any able-bodied man can definitely have as much sex as he wants if he gets his game right and he just avoids the basic mistakes.
Well, the other thing as well is, like, on the one hand, yes, there's more competition than there's ever been before. Yes, you know, there's a higher, like, entry price, if you like, to put it that way, for certain women and so on. But at the same time, there is also massive opportunity, right? I mean, you know, we've all got access to these same apps. We've all got access to relatively inexpensive travel. We can all set up an online business and be location independent and all that kind of stuff. So there are massive opportunities for guys as well, right?
Oh, of course there are massive opportunities, but a lot of people don't act on their opportunity.
Yeah. So
this is the thing. And then they want to sit and complain about it. But yeah, there's huge opportunity. There's a whole bunch of stuff that can be done. And I have this from guys all the time. There's no reason for a guy to not be able to get laid anytime he wants. It should be easy to get laid anytime you want. It's only when you want to really crack the highest level girls that it gets really hard. So I'll give you my quick story. So I was verified on Instagram about a year ago. Before that, I had like 40,000 followers and I had a good account. And then I got verified. Now I got like 80,000 and a blue tick. Now I'm verified. So I talk to all those girls with like 3 million followers and all this shit. So I'll be talking to a girl. And at my level, even at this level, I think it's even harder here than it was anywhere else. Because if I'm talking to a girl with, let's say, I was talking to a girl in Dubai. She had 2 million followers. We were staying in the same hotel. And I was talking to her, blah, blah, blah. I knew a guy took her there because there's no way she has her own fucking money. So she's staying with a dude anyway. And she's replying to me, blah, blah, blah. And we're talking. We're due to meet. And then we were due to meet on a Tuesday. I messaged her in the morning. She didn't reply. And I'm me. I'm a G. So you don't reply to me. Done. I'm messaging you again. So I didn't message her again. Anyway, she messages me on like Friday. Hey, how you been? And when she messages me, I click her story. She was on some fucking boat and the boat had a car collection on the deck. So on Tuesday when she was supposed to meet me, she ended up fucking off with God knows whoever and was on a boat with about $10 million of cars. They had like 7 Lambos on the deck of the boat, a yacht, a private yacht.
Yeah.
So it's like, then she's like, hey, let's go somewhere. What about this place? And now she wants me to buy her a $3,000 dinner. So I'm too stubborn. So I'm like, no. And I ignored her. I ignored her back just to have the final victory. You know, I didn't reply. But it's like, this is when you get to that level, it's still not easy. Because then you got dudes like fucking Sheikh Mohammed Duhamed, who has a fucking superboat. So it's always going to be hard no matter what level you play the game. But that's also the reason why we enjoy the game. If it was easy, none of us would play it. So it is what it is, you know. You just got to fucking take roll with the punches. Use it as motivation to become the best person you can be, and enjoy the ups and downs like everything else.
Well, that is the one good thing about this from the male point of view, isn't it? It does drive us to get better, right? Because we kind of have to, you know. We kind of have to, whatever level we're playing the game at. There's competition, and so we have to kind of level up, don't we? So in a way, that's kind of an advantage, right? Because if you're a hot girl, you don't have to do anything until you're 35, and then you're thinking, "Oh shit," you know, and then you've got to sort out that situation.
No, completely true. Hey, whole cities were built for pussy. Society was built for pussy. Empires were built for pussy. All this shit's for pussy. Women are sitting around talking about how they're subjected and how evil men are. We did all this shit for girls. I said this to my brother the other day. If I didn't care about fucking girls, I wouldn't even live in a city. I'd live in the middle of God knows where by myself with a bunch of machine guns and do push-ups all day. Like, why do I even live in a city? Why do I have supercars and champagne and a big house? I do all this shit. Fuck. I don't need this crap. I don't care. Well, men don't care. We'll sleep in a cardboard box. We don't give a fuck as long as we're warm.
Yeah.
Garbage is for women.
Yeah. And this is the MGTOW thing, isn't it? This is the problem with the MGTOW thing, because the MGTOW guys, on the one hand, they're sort of like, yeah, well, we don't need them. We're going our own way and everything. But what sort of life does that lead to? I mean, it can be I'm sure it can be a good life, but I think a lot of those dudes just end up, you know, living in a, I don't know.
They're cowards. They're cowards.
Yeah.
And I don't care what anyone says. As much as we can complain about the way women are, blah, 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 you need female energy in your life. Look, I'm a man who I live with 4 guys. We train every day. I understand the power of masculine energy and masculine drive to achieve things. But if you're sick or you're ill, you need a woman around you. Like, you need a woman. You can't live your life with no women involved and pretend that's a good life. I don't believe that's a good life. I would never want to live that life. You're just being a pussy and you're being a coward. You're just afraid. And that's not the answer. Cowardice is never the answer to anything. There's just because something's difficult or just because there's hurdles, being a coward about it is not the answer. And that's all the MGTOW thing is. So I will never support the MGTOW movement in any way. I understand that there are, the girls and they might divorce rate me, blah. Shut up. Like, or they're gold diggers. You ain't got any money anyway. We talk about gold diggers. What are they going to dig for you? Bowl of cereal? Shut the fuck up. they're all garbage. A lot of them are just cowards. And I kind of understand how they came to their conclusions, but that's not the way to be as a man. As a man, you have to understand it's not going to be easy, but that's why it's so good. Look, everything in life is difficult. Everything worthwhile in life is difficult. This is the whole point of life. People always complaining things are hard. If it wasn't hard, you wouldn't want it. If everyone had a six pack, nobody would care who had a six pack.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't mean anything. So the only reason people value a six pack is because it's difficult to get a six pack. The only reason people look at me in the club, like, who's this dude? Because I've got 10 chicks around me, is because no one else can do it. So you need to enjoy the fact it's hard. Because if it wasn't hard, you wouldn't have a career. I wouldn't have a career out of cam girls. You wouldn't be fucking be able to do what you do teaching guys how to get girls on the street. Because we know something that others can't do. It's hard. But you can't complain about it. That's the joy of it. That's the beauty of it. That's hard. So you need to embrace that. Every time a girl ignores you, you have to be like, good. Okay, good. The game's still fun. Because if every bitch sucks your dick, then you end up like these famous dudes who get married. Because the game gets boring then. You know? So that's how it goes.
Well, what do you think about some of these like former, you know, PUA type guys who they've renounced it all and they're like, no, it's got old now. And then they grow a massive beard and they go and live in the mountains and, you know.
I think I know what you're talking about.
And start tweeting about the lizard people and stuff. I mean, because that seems to me a cop out as well.
Of course it is. So see, everyone has a different goal. That's the thing that's quite interesting about this whole Playboy PUA thing. Everyone has a different goal. Everyone approaches it from a different angle. What is your end goal? So the only time I considered myself a pickup artist and the only time I got serious about getting as many girls as possible was when I started my cam business. Before that, if I had a couple chicks, I didn't give a shit. When I had my cam business, even if I had 10 chicks, I wanted more and more and more. So I always approached my game, my highest days of game, I approached with the end result, my end goal being money.
Yeah,
I wanted money. Some guys approach game with the end result being family and children. Some guys approach game with the end result being as many ladies as possible. So it has to depend what you judge it as and what you're looking for. I think you do need an exit strategy because the truth is, one way or another, age is going to make a fool of us all. I don't believe when I'm 70 that I'm going to be attracted to 70-year-old women. I don't believe that. I believe I'm still going to want 19-year-olds. I don't think I'm going to change. And I think it's going to get extremely difficult to pull off without buying them. And buying them is no fun because it kills the whole game. So I'm not going to be interested. So you have to have an exit strategy. At some point in my life, I have to give up the player game and move on to something else. If that decision is family, fine. I mean, I think that's a progression most men will probably take. Yeah. What Roosh has done, because I'll say his name, Roosh, he has failed with women. And the reason he's failed is because if you read his blogs, all he talks about is wanting a family and wanting a girl he can make a family out of, and he couldn't pull it off. So through all of his knowledge, he couldn't get a girl to stay with him for more than 2 minutes. So that just proves that behind his game, which I mean, and let's be honest. I mean, I say this to guys all the time. Game is game. But you know what 99% of game is? The balls to go up and say hello.
That's not
if you go up to enough girls and say hello, you'll get laid.
Even if
you have no other game, if you have enough just to go up to everything you see, you'll get laid eventually. So behind Roosh's game, which is basically approach everything, which I'm not saying is a bad game, it works. Behind that, he didn't have enough substance as a man to retain a woman. So he's failed because he wanted something from a woman he couldn't get. That's how I view him as a failure. And now he's run off to read the Bible. Enjoy. I wanted money and I got a bunch of it. So I knew what I was doing. So you have to once again look at the whole game. And if you're a pickup artist or you're a PUA, whatever, what is your end goal? If your end goal is to sleep with 1,000 women, okay, good, do it. But then what happens once you've done it? You got to have like an exit strategy. I always had a clear strategy, which was financial. So for me, it was like, okay, money. So I could always tell if I was doing well or not. But because I don't know. how many girls you need to sleep with until eventually you get to the point where it's like a, I don't know. There is enough. I don't know if it ever gets like that. It never gets completely boring, but I mean, 500, 600, 650, like, are they really that different? Haven't you proved your point by now?
Yeah, you know? I think so. And I think the only one, I got a little bit of reverb there, actually. I think the only one thing that's a bit of a blessing probably to all of us is I do think it does start to, you know, it's the desire starts to become a little bit less white hot as you as you go on. And I mean I even find that myself. Do you know what I mean? Like, so I think there's a little bit of sweet relief there in a way. And yes, you do have to think about, you know, what you're gonna do on the other end, because obviously you don't want to be, you know, 70 running around the, you know, doing whatever. But
And you don't want to be like Roosh in the mountains with a beard reading the Bible talking shit. You need to have some kind of plan. And I mean, the natural, I understand there's a lot of men in the world nowadays who don't want families. That's up to them. But the natural life arc has always been family, isn't it? That's been the natural life arc. But now it's difficult because there's divorce and there's all this other crap that comes along with it that makes it very hard to do. But I mean, you got to have some kind of exit strategy to the Playboy game. I have a lot of guys who come to me and say, I don't want to be a Playboy. I want to be happily married. And I say to them, if you want to be happily married, you better be a Playboy first, because you better have the option of choosing a good woman. And the only way you can choose a good woman is if you fuck a bunch, because there ain't many left. So I know. I got to fuck 25 girls to find a good one. It's about that number. I'll fuck 25 girls, and every 25 I'll meet one and go, she has a kind heart. She's a good person. But the other 24 can fuck off because they're dickheads.
Yeah.
So that's how it goes.
And do you, I mean, we've talked about this before, but do you see yourself going, in the end, going down the family route and having some heirs and all
in
that?
In the end, I'm going to go the family route, because I think that personally, I think that there becomes a point in life where the only enjoyment you can have is vicarious. I think once you're 60 something, you get far more pleasure teaching what you know and watching a young person who's related to you experiencing life for the first time than you can do anything. What can you do when you're old? You have no energy. You have no physical prowess. I mean, what can you do? You want to go travel the world with the other old people, sit on the old people boat? I mean, I don't know. You can't do anything. So I think there becomes a point where the only joy you have in life is through your family and is vicariously living through them. So I'm definitely interested in having a family in the future, 100%. So yeah, I think that's the life arc I will take. And I think a lot of men will take it. But if you're a Playboy first and you do the Playboy thing properly, you get to be able to choose any woman you want to have kids with. You get to be able to choose one you know is going to be a good mother. You get to be able to make sure you can keep her ass in check if she gets fresh. You get a whole bunch of assets. If you just jump in bed and start having kids with the first woman you fuck, there's a whole bunch of information and life experience you're missing. So I think every man should use his 20s and 30s to fuck something, and then maybe his 50s and 60s to raise something. You know, as a man, you got time. Women haven't got that time.
Yeah.
As a man, you've got time, so you can enjoy it and make use of it.
Yeah. And I heard you say the other day, actually, Taj here has just said Andrew could do what Abu American does as an exit strategy, which I think is have 5 wives and 7 children or something.
Easily.
So, you know,
I could easily pull that off today.
Yeah. But I quite like what you were saying the other day about having to handle your woman or handle your wife or whatever, or your girlfriend or whatever, and how that can negatively impact on business.
Yep.
So, did you want to speak around that briefly? Because I think that's a really important point. Because like guys sort of, this touches on what we were saying earlier, guys not being able to handle female energy, right? Because if you let your girl walk all over you and she gets in the way of your business, then you're going to be screwed.
Your woman will fuck up your life completely if you let her. And she may not even know she's doing it.
Yeah.
But it's just how they are. Women, if a woman falls in love with you, she wants all of your attention. She wants all of your time. And the truth is, it's the biggest waste of attention. It's the biggest waste of time in the world. Watching Netflix, holding hands. Like, how are you going to conquer the world doing that shit?
Yeah.
It's a waste of time. They want your time, but it's a waste. So if you're a dedicated man, if you want to run a business, you want to be in good shape, you want to get shit done, you haven't got time to be sitting there all day with a woman. And too many guys, they capitulate and they go, oh, if I sit with my wife wants to go here. Oh, it's this night. It's date night. Oh, no, no. And then they wonder why I get to be a world champion and I'm rich, and they're not, because I spent more time doing shit for me. Well, you spent time doing shit for women you're not even with anymore.
Yeah.
You have to have your woman in order to have your life in order. Because if the woman's in control, you're fucked. Because they don't know any better. They really don't know any better. They don't do it from a spiteful, mean. I mean, women can be spiteful and mean, but in general, they just don't know any better. They don't understand why you are so busy. They don't understand why you're so dedicated to becoming brilliant. Because they don't have that energy that a man has, you know? Mm. So you need to have your woman in check to run a business. There's no other way to do it. Like, my business is dependent on me living with my brother and my cousin. It's dependent on me living with these guys. It's dependent on me being in good shape. It's dependent on me training. It's dependent on me being physically dangerous. It's depending on me being smart. It's dependent on so many things, plus so many hours of hard work. If my woman had her way, I'd just be sitting in bed watching TV all day. Oh, please come with me. I'm lonely. I miss you. But then I wouldn't be me.
Isn't it ironic how they want the they want the results, but they don't like you doing the. They don't
They all want to fuck a fighter, but until you have to train,
yeah.
Now you're too busy and tired. Like, after I used to train for fights, I didn't want to fuck these girls. Like, I'd be tired. I just want to come home and go to sleep. I'm exhausted. 7 hours of training. I'm tired. Oh, you don't give me any attention. Bitch, I have to get in the fucking ring, and a guy's going to try and kill me. You're talking about attention. They don't know any better. So, yeah, they all want the end result, and we all know all this anyway. But you have to have your woman in check. If you don't have your woman in check, you can never live a life of true purpose. And most – I'm telling you now, man, the reason most men do the shit they do with women is because they're afraid their woman's going to cheat on them. If every man was completely honest, the ideal relationship for a man with a woman – I'm sure I live it. Or I know I live it, so I know it. But I'm going to tell you now, and every there's going to be men out there who go, that's not my ideal relationship. They're fucking liars. The ideal relationship is to wake up, go out, make money, work, be with your boys, hang with your boys all day, do whatever the fuck you want, come home late at night, eat your dinner, talk for maximum 15 minutes, fuck, and go to sleep. That's it. 15 minutes to listen to their shit, sex, bed, wake up, back with the boys again, back on mission, back getting shit done. That's what every man wants. But they're afraid to do it because then they think, oh, my woman doesn't get attention, she's going to run off and be a hoe. And that's how they end up walking around IKEA, looking at curtains on their only day off, pretending they're not fucking depressed. Yeah, I know there's no man alive who gives a fuck about curtains on a Sunday afternoon.
Except beef curtains.
Yeah, well, exactly. But he has to do it because, you know, oh, she wants to get curtains on. It's like men capitulate, and this is why they're all so fucking miserable. Just tell them, you know, because they know that, oh, if I don't spend time with her all the time, she's going to get on her phone and text someone else. Well, then you got other problems in your life, haven't you? You got other problems. But I can inspire loyalty with 15 minutes a day. And that's a skill that I've learned because I had so many girls working for me. I didn't have any more time to give. So,
yeah, exactly. Well, look, I mean, it's obviously the current scenario has probably, if nothing else, showed us the need for anti-fragility, right? I mean, just in terms of business, in terms of women, in terms of, like, you know. So if anything, the message that you put out and Tristan puts out, and I know, you know, I agree with much of what you guys say around this. If guys could learn one thing from this current scenario, what would you say it would be?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think what guys need to do is they need to learn a lot about themselves. And I think people need to be a lot more realistic with themselves, because the number one excuse everyone has for everything is they didn't have time. Why are you not X? Why didn't you do X? I didn't have time. That's the excuse. Well, now you've had time and you still didn't fucking do it. So now what's your excuse? You need to learn a lot about yourself. And the more you know about yourself, the better you're going to be. I say this a lot of the time. People say to me, what should I invest in, Tate? Should I invest in Bitcoin? Should I invest in property? Blah, blah, blah. You need to invest in yourself and you need to learn and you need to know yourself. If the more you know as a person about everything, including about your own psyche, the better you're going to do in any environment. Doesn't matter if it's a global pandemic. It doesn't matter if you're dumped in the middle of the desert. Doesn't matter if you're on a sinking ship. The more you know about yourself, the better. So I've tested myself to the point where I know my strengths and weaknesses, absolutely. But I don't think a lot of people do. There's a whole bunch of people out there who think they are motivated when they are not. There's a whole bunch of people out there who think they are determined when they're not. And people don't really realize you need to sit and do some introspection. Don't worry about nothing else. Don't worry about anyone else. Just look at yourself and say, am I genuinely a dedicated, motivated person? And 99% of people, when they ask themselves that question, be like, well, no, I guess I'm not. Because I wanted to learn the clarinet and I've been sitting on my ass for 2 weeks and I still can't play the fucking clarinet. And that's how it goes. So learn about yourself. And if you want to take time during this crisis to upgrade yourself and upgrade your life, you should be looking to learn things. If you're listening to this, good. If you're listening to this, good. If you're listening to any other podcast, good. If you're buying courses from me or Troy, good. Now's the time to learn something, because the more knowledge you have in your head, the better you're going to do in any situation. You don't need to have, doesn't matter, fuck Bitcoin, fuck this, fuck that. If you're the man, you're the man no matter what. And that's the truth.
Because, yeah, exactly. And the way I see it, right, I think we've already talked about this. there's a, the likelihood is it's going to be a sexual bonanza when we come out of this, right? Because we've got all these horny girls, all these horny guys. There's going to be a lot of, you know, activity. There's a lot of explosion of banging going on across the world when we come out of this. But there's equally, there's also going to be economic and financial. I mean, I think Trump's right. When Trump says we're going to see a bounce, I think he's right. Unless this goes on for, another considerable length of time. If countries start to come out of lockdown, I think we are going to start seeing economic bounce.
Yeah,
there's a lot to take advantage from on the other side of this.
Absolutely. Yeah, there is. And a lot of people need to be sitting there and understanding. I think I said this recently. I think there's going to be money around, but people are going to change how they spend it. And I think people have already changed their attitude toward money. They're going to be a little bit more frugal, a little bit more careful with what they spend money on. They're going to think a little bit more. And that gives opportunity in lots of different ways. So you need to sit there and try and identify how you think things are going to change with the way people spend their money and how and people's attitudes to money. But also, if you have a little bit of money floating around, that gives you the advantage. Again, like girls are going to need drinks bought for them more than ever. So, you know, there's definitely going to be an advantage there. So it's just looking at the chessboard and making the move. But this is the point I made. I've invested so much time in myself. I know that it doesn't matter if it's a global pandemic, doesn't matter if it's a fucking snowstorm, doesn't matter. No matter what, I'm the survivor. If a plane crashes and there's one survivor, I'm that fucking guy. And they put a picture of my face on the news and they're like, how the fuck, just to annoy the world. I'm that dude. So you got to become that guy. You got to become that guy who just pulls it off no matter what. I don't give a shit how long this lockdown goes on for. I don't give a shit if it ends tomorrow or thing. I don't give a fuck if every girl leaves me today. I don't care what happens to me. I win because that's who I am. I'm a winner. And that's what you need to be looking at as a person, is taking the skills you need and the mindset you need to make sure that you win regardless. I will get more pussy from this lockdown. Hey, let's put it this way. I have a whole bunch of pussy with a lockdown, a whole bunch of pussy without a lockdown. And that's the kind of guy you need to be.
Yeah. And that is really the key message, I think, to pull from all of this, isn't it? It's just like, you've got to be anti-fragile. You've got to be self-reliant regardless of the circumstances.
Yeah, you've got to be a winner, and you only get to live as you.
Yeah.
So you might as well make you the best possible. It's like a video game. People have these video games and they want to upgrade their character all the time. I live life. Life's my game. And my character, I just level up the best I can because it makes life fun.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Well, listen, it's been awesome to chat. It's a quick one. Is Trump going to win in 2020?
He's absolutely going to win, man. If Biden debates with him, I'm going to. That's going to be the most fun I've ever had. I don't know what the Democrats are thinking. There must be some big suspicious thing going on. They cannot believe he's going to win. Surely. I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know what's going on.
It's very odd. It's very odd. Do you see, sort of brief political point, do you see at the end of this current coronavirus thing, do you see a swing towards nationalism, towards more right-wing type politics being instituted by these countries? Or could it go the other way? Because could everyone go, well, hang on a minute, that lockdown was rubbish. We just want to party and bang hoes.
Yeah.
I can see either thing happening.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And they can say, oh, this country helped this country and we're all one people and all this shit. But I think that when times get hard, liberalism often disappears. And I think that Trump can talk back about the virus very often. I think he can say, look at those people who died. We had to close our border. We need strong borders. Look, what if there's another virus? Da, da, da. I think it's going to give the nationalists what they need to be able to drill it home to people and make them understand the importance of nationalization. So I think it's probably going to help the right argument. But, you know, my view on politics nowadays is I just think the world's such a mess. I don't even know how to fix it anymore, bro. Who knows? One day I'll be 85 living in Okinawa just trying to ignore the news. We'll see how it goes.
I think that libertarian sort of attitude is the best thing, really. I mean, like, the only thing you can control is what's in front of you and your own business. And
exactly.
Everything else, you know, whatever. I mean, you take an interest, but what are you going to do? Exactly. So, you know. Anyway, Andrew, listen, it's been awesome to have you on. Thanks ever so much for taking the time out. I know you're obviously very busy. Man, even under the current circumstances. So CobraTake.com is where guys can go for everything, really, right?
Absolutely. That's everything I teach. Everything I teach, from money to girls, from head to toe. And I like to feel like I put a lot of social proof out there. Anyone at any point who wants to doubt me and say I don't get girls or I don't have money, whatever, I'm Mr. Social Proof. If you want, I can show you the last 100 girls I fucked. They all look like a runway. You want to see it? Just ask. I'll show it to you. So
yeah,
I'm as legit as they come, and I teach it all on CobraTake.com.
Awesome stuff. And obviously the war room's on there as well. Correct. Right. So guys can look at that. Fantastic. Good stuff. All right. Well, thanks ever so much for coming on, mate. It's really good to chat to you as always. If guys can just subscribe to my channel, that'd be fantastic. It really helps me out in terms of building up the subscriber base, putting out more content like this. And we will see you again very soon. Bye-bye.
Absolutely. Goodbye.